Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're again talking about the Kingdom of God. And we were on the subject of idolatry in the last show. And what exactly is idolatry? Everybody thinks idolatry is building a statue or something to that effect and bowing down and worshiping that statue. It's not really, although that's a physical representation of idolatry. And of course, people make statues and they have flags and they have all kinds of physical symbols that represent something that they have created, you know, like governments or religions or, you know, what have you. And people worship those things. And way back when certain churches or church organizations created originally by Constantine were out there saying, you know, you had to become a member of our church in order to receive the social welfare of the government. You know, one of the icons that we have, but it's a symbol, and words are symbols of ideas, and so pictures are worth a thousand words. So on the front of our book, The Free Church Report, we have a picture of Lady Godiva. And Lady Godiva is normally, if you look up Lady Godiva, Google that, and under images, you're going to get lots and lots of pictures of a naked woman on a horse riding through town. And so we have a picture of Lady Godiva on the front of our Free Church Report, which is the book that we tell you how the church was really working and how it can work today if you have the Holy Spirit in you. So why in the world would we have a picture of Lady Godiva on the front of that book? Well, of course, we tell you in the book, you know, we have a page that talks about the cover and who that is that you see on the cover. And you won't know by looking at the cover that it's Lady Godiva unless you're really into the art world because it's an old picture that was produced years and years ago of Lady Godiva and her husband in a conversation. And she's completely dressed. She's not naked. So it alleviated a lot of fears that somehow or other that were promoting pornography. The reality is the whole story of her riding through town naked was invented over 100 years after she died. And it was invented by a monk who was actually, really, I think his motivation was to defame her character and her being. Because what she really was doing, what the challenge that her and her husband were facing, was that there was a new tax imposed by the king. This is back, you know, Lady Godiva was a real lady. She's almost the only woman mentioned in the Doomsday Book, which is the tax book put together in England. I mean, they still have it today, the Doomsday Book. And supposedly when all the land of the world was registered in the Doomsday Books, it would be Doomsday. But she's listed in there as one of the major property owners in England. She was an extremely wealthy woman. And a new tax was being imposed upon the people by these new Norman kings. Her husband, this is her second husband, her first husband had died. Second husband was a Norman. And a new tax was being imposed by the king, and as a Norman, he had to enforce that tax. And it was a tax on the people to provide for the poor. It was one of the first taxes, social welfare taxes, to be imposed upon the population to provide for the poor, which is what the tax of Corban was. But the tax of Corban in ancient Israel was a free will offering. The tax of Corban under Herod was a compelled offering. You signed up and then you had to pay in according to statutory requirements. You could be penalized. Somebody could kick in your door if you didn't pay that in. You could receive severe penalties for not paying in, because the government had become a benefactor who exercised authority. Under ancient Israel terms, under the terms that Christ presented, under the terms explained very clearly by John the Baptist, that if there was a need amongst you in your society, those who had should share charitably with those that didn't have enough. Now, you needed to be organized about this, and this is why they gather together in congregations. This is what we call a core group, congregation of record. You gather together. You still have the choice as to what you're going to give in. You still have a choice as to who you're going to give it to. What minister do you trust? And you want to give it to your minister to dole out, because then you know how much is actually going to the needy in your community. And that's very important. You know, you could actually, if you got a cut, you could actually pour blood on that cut and it would help heal the cut. Blood, pouring blood on, if it's clean blood, pouring blood on that cut will help begin healing. You know, with major injuries, the Romans knew that if you took a lion's liver and you put it on the wound would heal faster. And they actually used livers of other animals as well, because it would heal faster because of the properties in that liver itself. But that's not the way you should do it. So, I mean, if you have somebody in need in your congregation, you can give them money personally. Every member of your congregation could give them some money. But you may be wasting some of it, because you don't know how much Steve gave, and you don't know how much Dave gave, and you don't know how much Paul gave, and you don't know how much Justin gave. And so you just give because you see the need, but you may give too much. And then what happens is you don't have enough to give to somebody else who also has a need. Because you and Steve and Paul and everybody gave, you know, somebody has a need for $1,000. And so each of you give $200. And it ends up they got $2,000. Now you have $1,000 not available to give to the next person in need. You gave them too much. You didn't know you were giving them too much. So this is why you have a minister. You give to the minister, and the minister goes and sees exactly what the need is and doles out what they need based on what he receives to help them out. Because see, you can't just be an isolated little congregation. We're preaching kingdom here, not congregationalism. A kingdom is composed of congregations, free assemblies, not corporate congregations, but free assemblies. And those free assemblies have to care enough about the next assembly as they do their own. So some of the money you give to your minister may go to the needy in your congregation, but some of it may be passed on to other ministers to help the needy in their congregation. And then your network of congregations becomes a circulatory system, and your ministers are the bloods and arteries of that system. It's the same as some of the what you gave this week went out to help other congregations. When there is a bigger disaster in your own congregation, some will come back by the same means to help you out. And this way you become this efficient. The union and discipline of the early church impressed and frightened the Roman Empire. Now, I know lots of people who want to be free and they want to prepare for, you know, be survivalists and all this stuff. But who are you going to do that with? If you're in a bunker trying to survive with limited resources, and everybody in that bunker is a survivalist, it's only a matter of time before they start eating one another, because their goal is to survive. They're not gathering together out of love. They're gathering together to survive. I mean, you're trapped with demons. In your foxhole. They aren't a band of brothers. They're a band of survivalists. That what you want? Have at it. Get as far away from me as you can get. Because I don't want to have anything to do with you. I'm looking for those who will serve one another. I'm looking for people who will minister the gospel of the kingdom of God and seek the righteousness of God and seek to become the benefactors of God who do not exercise authority, because they're the only ones who will receive the miracles of God, because they're the only ones that God will hear. And you cannot come to such a gathering halfway. You can start coming halfway and get your feet wet, so to speak. I mean, like you're going to step out of the boat and walk on water, but you want to keep one foot in the boat all the time. Not going to happen. You got to step out. And you got to move in that direction with your whole being. You can't Ananias your way into the kingdom of God. He gave, but he didn't give all. You can't be a minister of Christ unless you give all. Now, I understand that that's a process. It's going to happen a little bit over time. And we will train you up in the ways of the kingdom. But you have to come holy. We have a new policy here that if somebody wants to become an ordained minister of the church, male or female, they have to fill out a personal bio, laying their cards on the table, laying the resources of their life on the table eventually, completely, entirely. And they have to start doing that right away. We're not going to take long periods of time to get to that point if you're going to come and train to be a minister of Christ. You have to empty your cup out. We talked about this in a show a couple times ago. They came to John to be baptized and to confess their iniquities. Their iniquities, you could say their sin, you could say their delusion. Because that's what iniquity is, it's a delusion. You think you're right and you're not right. You think you're correct and you're not correct. You think you are sincere and you're not sincere. You think you're listening to the Holy Spirit and you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. So what is that Holy Spirit and how do we know you're listening to it? Well, let's again go back to the fruits. What fruits are you bearing as you seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Are you seeking righteous fruits? Are you obtaining righteous fruits? Are you producing righteous fruits for others to eat of? Are you blessing everybody around you? Now, I admit that when you start speaking the truth to people, some people are going to want to leave the building. They're going to want to abandon you. They want to get away from you. But you would not be abandoning others. You know, somebody called me. Oh, another movie studio people called me the other day, wanting to do a video on us, you know, kind of a reality show. We don't really fit the bill of what they were looking for right now. Evidently, you know, Discovery Channel and all that, they're all looking for people who are, you know, communities living off the grid with interesting characters, and they're going to go film those people and make these shows. They're not really interested in do good content. They're interested in, you know, what they think sells. I know what will sell. But that's not what they're really looking for. And so, but we had a really great conversation with the particular, I won't mention his name. We've had a couple of these calls already. But this guy is kind of a born-again Christian. He says he is a born-again Christian. And years ago, he was in a Baptist church, and he realized that the Baptist church was not doing what the early church was doing. The format of the Baptist church, you know, minister up there telling everybody what to think and how to think about God and all this kind of stuff, is not what the early church was doing. The early church was actually doing something a lot more. And of course, that's what we write about in books like the Free Church Report with Lady Godiva on the front. Because Lady Godiva was doing what the first century church was doing. She didn't want the tax to be imposed upon the people. You know, it was a social welfare tax. Because that money would be taxed and it was going to be given to the church, because the church was the social welfare of the society in those days. It was in America 150 years ago. The church was the social welfare network of society 150 years ago, 200 years ago in America. Today it's not. Today it's just a bunch of ear ticklers. You're making you feel good about what you think about God. Yeah, what you think about God is right because you're a member of our church. And our church has the true answer. And the other churches, oh, they're all screwed up. You know, I mean, even you know, you got the different synods in different churches. If you're a part of this synod, you can't have communion in this church over here. I mean, I chuckle, but I guess to them it's really serious. It's all void of Christ. Now, the interesting thing is that you may be a member of such of those churches that are void of Christ, but you may not be void of Christ. You may not be far from the kingdom, but you have some delusions about the religion you belong to. We don't want you to belong to His holy church. We want you to belong to Christ. We want you to be a vessel of the Holy Spirit. Like that meditation exercise that I mentioned before that somebody had stumbled on. Didn't really know. You can do the exercise. You can do the push-up, you know, physical exercise or the mental exercise, the meditation exercise. But if you're not willing to see the whole truth and provide for it, if you're not willing to see the truth of the anointing of Christ entirely, you might see it like Aristobulus, but you didn't see it entirely. If you're not willing to see it entirely and provide for it, in other words, to sacrifice as Christ sacrificed, to walk in His footsteps, the exercise is not going to do you any good. You know, it's like doing push-ups so that you can get really strong and go out and strangle somebody or beat somebody to death. You know, the push-up is just an exercise in a particular realm, either physical or mental exercise. And it may help you see certain things or do certain things, but whether or not you do them in righteousness depends on whether you really accept the real Holy Spirit or not. And that's an individual thing. That's between you and God. I can come up and crush this icon, this idolatrous icon, or this idolatrous icon. I can rip your flotation device out of your hands or smack your hands so that you let go. Some people just cling and cling and cling to the opiates of their religion. You know, it's like a drug addict. They don't want to give it up unless you give them some sort of replacement. And that's what I've seen a lot of people who are drug addicts. Heroin, you know, cocaine. Evidently, you know, I don't have much experience with meth, but I've known some meth addicts. I've seen them. I've seen the product of meth. Or just, you know, minor addicts. Smoking is an addiction. You know, if you're smoking, that's an addiction. You know, I know people whose parents were, you know, at least one of their parents was an alcoholic. They're not alcoholics, but they chew tobacco. Still an addiction. It's still an addiction. And it will be your undoing. If you want to seek the kingdom of God wholly, you must allow those addictions to be given up. And go and see. When you see those addictions, you see whatever it is, whether it's religion or, you know, your idea of religion, your philosophy, and all these things that you worship, when you're willing to give those things up in righteousness and do what is righteous, you know, like Christ, if the sheep is in the pit and it needs to be pulled out on the Sabbath, who will leave their Sabbath rest to go and do it? Christ says we are to do that. But we make a religion out of the Sabbath. And we don't follow the Holy Spirit. But we feel righteous because we kept the Sabbath. You know, I've told stories about that where somebody left a family stranded on the side of the road that they could have saved in cold, cold weather. It was in November. And they left them stranded on the side of the road because they couldn't come and help them, even though they knew that they could come and help them because they were a mechanic. Because it was the Sabbath. They just used the Sabbath because they were too lazy to go and help. They probably wouldn't have been paid because the people who were stranded were also bums. They were vegetarians who eat meat with blood in it. In other words, they were on welfare. Now, if you're on welfare, you're eating meat with blood in it. I can guarantee that. Now, I'm not condemning you again if you're on welfare. I'm saying repent, turn around. Gather together in a congregation of record with other people and start seeking. We've had congregations been able to find work for people who didn't have work. find ways in which that they can sustain themselves off of welfare, but it takes sacrifice on the part of everybody in the congregation and everybody in the congregations of congregations. This is what they're doing. This is what Lady Godiva did. She took her wealth, her tremendous wealth, and started giving it to the church, because the church wasn't totally corrupt in those days. Totally corrupt. There was corruption in the church already, but you know, it was a mix. And see, like the Lutherans, the Jehovah's Witness, you might find seekers of the kingdom in any of those religions. Because it's about individuals. It's about individual souls. Christ came that the whole world might be saved, but the whole world did not repent and seek the kingdom of God. And many people go to church and they're not repenting and they're not seeking the kingdom of God. And they're not getting baptized and confessing their iniquity. They're denying their iniquity. And they're using ministers to help them deny the fact that the fruits of their deeds are not of the Holy Spirit. The fruits of their deeds are the fruits of the iniquity of men. And Christ is going to tell all those ministers and all their congregations, get ye from me, I know you not. They're going to be professing Christ with their mouth, but they're not doing what he said. They're not living by faith, hope, and charity. They're praying to the benefactors who exercise authority one over the other. They're praying to the fathers of the earth. They're not praying to their Father in heaven. Oh, they'll recite the Our Father. You know, they can recite it 100 times over, but they're not following in the ways of Christ. Not only did Lady Godiva start giving up her wealth, she's considered the patron saint of architects. Why? Because she built convalescent homes and libraries for education. Because the church was in charge of all those things. Health, education, and welfare. That was the job of the church. The kings were, you know, just waging war. But the king decided to, you know, to get more loyalty by taxing the people to compel them to support the church. And of course, there were members of the church that just wanted to be supported and weren't doing a good job. But there were also people in the church that were doing. In every church today, maybe not everyone, but most churches today, you can find people that show kingdom tracks in those churches. You will find people who are homeschooler, home health, who will come and help their neighbor, who will be there for their neighbor, who will share, who will take people in and provide for them in a righteous way. You will find those people in every church. Now, what you need to do is start gathering together in congregation. We never tell people, okay, you want... People are always asking, if I join a congregation of record, can I still go to my other church? The answer is, on record, absolutely. You may be the only one bringing the Holy Spirit into that other church. You may be the only true minister of God coming to that church. Because the minister you have, you know, I've actually had ministers when I explain these things and they admit it. They say, but I can't say this in my church. They actually whisper. And I'm thinking, like, you know, we're standing way out here in the field. Why are you whispering? Is the wind going to hear you say that this is true? But if I say it in my church, some people will not like it. They'll leave the church. They'll leave your church, but they won't leave his church because they're not a member of his church, because they're not doing the will of Christ. They're not following Christ. They're following your eschatology. They're following your ear tickling. They're following the carrots of false religion that you're putting out. Why are you whispering it? You're afraid to speak the truth in an open field even. And you call yourself a minister of God. What an abomination. What a brute. Leaving those people to be deluded in the fact that they think they believe in Jesus, but I don't want to tell them who Jesus really was. What he really said to do. You're lost. You're a servant of the beast. You have need of repentance. Turn around. Let's go the other way. But they're afraid. They're afraid to go. They love their icons. They love their religion, their opinion of religion. They worship it. They don't worship God. He will not strive with them forever. Evil will come upon them like a thief in the night. It's time that we repented. It's time that we go this other way, this way of righteousness, this way of seeking the kingdom of God. That means gathering together in core groups. You go to preparingyou.com, look up the word core, C-O-R-E, the search engine on every page. It will tell you how to form a core. Now the problem is to find the other people in the core. Most of our core groups are spread out because there are not lots of people on the street that want to wake up where you're at. But there are more than you know. And that's why we're going out on other radio stations. People are putting up money to go out on other radio stations. You want to contribute to that. It costs money to do that. If you want to contribute to that, go to hisholychurch.org and go to the radio links, and there's a place to donate. And we will start going out on more and more radio shows, you know, where they can hear us in their car and start forming more and more congregations of record. And then you can begin your journey towards the kingdom with other souls seeking the same. We'll be right back.
My name is Mark, and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back to Keys to the Kingdom, and we're talking about fruits of the Spirit. And I'm actually shocked about the power of the Spirit and how it does flow. I mean, I believed it. I read it. I had it in my head that such a thing was possible. I mean, we all read about the miracles. But that's something that happened way back then, right? It doesn't happen now. We don't have those miracles now, do we? Or do we? How does that work? How does that function that we do have those miracles now? Isn't that the fruit of the Spirit, those miracles? Now, I've seen all the miracle workers that get up there and they're jumping around and they're screaming and they're, you know, they're waving their hands and they're, and you see what seems to be a miracle. That's not the way it works. You know, Christ wasn't doing all that. I mean, somebody just touched the hem of his garment, and the power came out of him and went in to the individual and healed them instantly. There's no fanfare. There's nobody knocking anybody down. There was no music and, you know, and all kinds of emotions and all that stuff. It just happened instantly, quietly, peacefully. How does that work? Well, if you don't know, you don't know him. You don't know his Spirit. You're not moving from his Spirit. You're full of delusions. But Christ came that you might be saved and learn the ways of the Holy Spirit. That you can actually heal people through the Holy Spirit. Not through you, but the Holy Spirit may move through you and help heal those people. But it requires two things. The Holy Spirit, which is always there and all around us, but not always in us. And it requires their willingness to receive that Holy Spirit. Now, that woman was at a point where she was willing to receive it. And it's an interesting thing, and I don't fully comprehend it. I admit that openly. But I know it's there. Is that almost every place you see a miracle by Christ, it was because somebody requested, desired, prayed in their hearts that that Spirit and that power of that Spirit and that miracle would be manifest. Sometimes the individual prayed for themselves and were willing to receive that Spirit. In order to receive it, you must be willing to see the light that comes with it. You must be willing to see yourself, even if it blinds you temporarily, like Paul. Paul was fervent to know the truth, but he thought he knew it. He had to get knocked off his high horse of vanity before he would see it. But he was desirous, truly desirous of seeing the truth. Are you truly desirous of seeing the truth? At all costs. Because Paul's delusions were shattered. He thought he was doing the right thing while he was hurting Christians. Killing them even. What a delusion. And he had to admit it. And he admitted it openly. I held the coats of those who stoned Stephen. That's confession. He admitted it openly. humiliating or humbling? What's the difference between humiliating and humbling? Humiliating is when you won't accept it and you call it, I was humiliated. Humbling was, I was humbled. It's a thing of peace. It is a thing of strength. It wipes away the void of vanity. We think of vanity as, you know, all puffed up. Well, it is all puffed up. What do you think they're talking about with leaven and all that? Puffed up. Looks like it's a lot of bread, but it's mostly air. And your vanity is puffed up. Once you begin to understand all that Hebrew language has to do with abstract and concrete symbols. Leavened bread is puffed up. You know, they're wearing their special robes and vestments, and, you know, it's all puffing them up. Or, you know, maybe they're in a scene and they're wearing tattered clothes and, you know, and wore down simple garments and stuff like that, because they're all puffed up. But they're just proud of their poverty, proud of their meekness. It's still pride. It's still a substance. It's still an opiate that keeps you from just simply walking in the Holy Spirit. Whether you put a suit on me or jeans on me, it shouldn't make any difference to me. It doesn't alter the Holy Spirit, whether the Holy Spirit is there or not. That is not my armor. I actually thought about, you know, getting, I can weave and spin cloth. I thought about actually weaving and spinning a robe. That's what monks used to do. They used to spin and weave their own robe, and they would wear that robe. And, you know, then when I show my ID, I'm more likely I'll get through the terminal because I'm wearing a monk's robe. And they say, oh, well, he's a monk. Oh, okay. Well, then you don't need to see my ID. You know, it's a Jedi thing. You know, make a little robe like the Jedi's. I actually contemplated that. I haven't done it. Don't have time to do much weaving anymore. But it's dangerous to start creating these same symbols of religion with your own invented religion in your mind. This is the mystery. You've got people in churches like Jehovah's Witnesses, Lutherans, Baptists, Catholics, Mormons, and all these things. And that's where they were because their parents were there, or they were led there, or they ended up meeting somebody there, and they ended up in that religion. Or maybe they don't go to church at all. Maybe they're in politics. Maybe they're Ron Paul supporters or what have you. Or maybe they've been just completely burned out on religion and politics altogether, and they're just out there. So what looks like kingdom tracks? Well, homeschooling is one of them. You know, home health, looking for alternatives. Open mind. But one of the key things is they're at peace. They don't get angry. They probably don't cuss and swear. Although, you know, I found a few people not far from the kingdom that do a little bit of cussing and swearing. But it's just, you know, it's like in Ireland, you know, everything is effing this and effing that. I mean, it's like, it's just in the culture. And so somebody might have those kinds of things still lagging onto their persona. But how do you know that the Holy Spirit is really working in that person and they're not far from it? They still have icons that need to be smashed and taken away and dropped off, but they're still clinging to some of that wreckage and their personality. How do you find that that individual is actually close to the Holy Spirit? Well, one of the key elements is that you have to be close to the Holy Spirit. So how do you know you're close to the Holy Spirit? Well, do people make you angry? Do people make you impatient? Do you whine and cry and get impatient in your tone and you know, these things that Christ just simply didn't do? Christ put up, you know, maybe you can imagine that Christ, when he said, get ye behind me, Satan, you can put an inflection into that and think that Jesus was ticked with Peter. And he was upset with Peter. See, you don't get upset. The closer you get to the Holy Spirit, things in the physical world are not going to upset you. They're not going to frighten you. They're not going to make you sad. You're not going to be moody. Now, there's a chemistry in your body that can cause you to want to become moody. But it's not going to overtake you, because you're going to have the Holy Spirit. You're clinging to this spiritual thing rather than the physical body. Don't fear those who can kill the body or upset the body or, you know, you're actually dwelling in the Holy Spirit. And it's really that relationship begins to alter the way in which you react to almost everything. And you're going to start seeing things. You're going to see things that there's absolutely no logical reason you should even have noticed or seen that. I've given lots of examples over my life where there was absolutely no reason whatsoever I should realize that somebody was plotting against me. And even when I realized they were plotting against me, I wasn't angry with them. I wasn't upset by them. Had I become angry or upset, it would have stifled that perception. It would have influenced it. You see, because I would be moving from that knowledge, from the presence of that knowledge, moving from the reality that they were presenting around me and trying to create around me, the plot, so to speak. But I can sit out in, you know, I can be out in a field and see somebody that normally I wouldn't even notice. I don't have that good of eyesight. I wouldn't even have noticed them. You know, these guys who pull off these 400-yard shots on coyotes and stuff, I'm still looking like, where's the coyote? You know? So I don't see that well. But in spirit, I spotted a guy who was just a dot. And he was looking at me. And he was scoping us out. How did I see him? How did I know he was there? I mean, I got 360 degrees. I could look in any direction. And I spot this guy. And I sense his presence. How do I know? I can't do that. I don't have any power to do that. The Holy Spirit said, look here. I have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's not as strong as it needs to be. But God has given me a life to continue to grow in that strength of the Holy Spirit. He's given you a life to continue to grow in that Holy Spirit. So what do you do? What exercise can you do? What practice can you do to increase the Holy Spirit in your life? Corban, sacrifice, forgiveness. Forgiveness is sacrifice. You give up judgment. You know, every time you judge somebody, you play God. If you're playing God, God can't come. Your cup is full of you being God, judging others because they celebrate Christmas or they use the wrong name or they go to this church or they go to that church or they have this political affiliation or they wear this clothes. You're not looking at the soul of the individual. You're looking at all the stuff on the outside, all the stuff that they put up to hide behind. You see that. You have to look beyond their camouflage and see their very soul. Look into their soul. And you have to do it with the love of Christ. And you can't do it with the love of Christ until you set aside your idols. All those idols, all those rituals and ceremonies you've created in your personal false religion. What you think about God. Because what you think about God just ain't so. You don't need to think about God. You need to listen to God. Hear God speaking to you now. And the religion you have created up in your mind is getting in the way of what God wants to tell you and show you. You have to be still to know God. You have to set aside, I mean, most people, they need other preachers preaching in their ears constantly or, you know, once a week or whatever. They need music. They need other sounds because they can't be still. If they be still, they start getting fidgety and antsy and you know, nervous and it just starts bothering them. Great evidence that they're not moving from the Holy Spirit. And I'll probably talk about this later. There's a thing where if they want to control your mind, one of the ways they do it, they put you in an isolation room, no light, no sound. you know, they even want to float you in water. They don't always do that. But just put you in a padded cell in the dark with no sounds, no stimulation. 48 hours later, you're climbing the walls. Most people are, they're hitting rock bottom. All their icons are gone. All the things that they depend upon to distract them are gone. They'll start scratching holes in themselves, you know, just like meth addicts start picking away and making sores on themselves. They're lobotomizing themselves. Everybody who takes drugs, I don't care whether it's something as simple as marijuana or even smoking a cigarette, they're all escaping from something, some sort of fidgety, nervous tension that comes up when they don't have that habit. Now, of course, some of those habits are less destructive than others. But the mere idea that you need something, some physical thing outside yourself to appease you, to make you comfortable, is a sign that you're not moving from the Holy Spirit. Because you're not at peace with yourself. You can put some people in that solitary confinement and it doesn't affect them. 90% of the people, they're absolutely devastated within a matter of a day or two. They're absolutely crushed, bottoming out. But some people, it doesn't even bother. It doesn't even bother. Why? Well, there's actually two reasons. There almost always is two reasons. One is a good reason, one is a bad reason. But if you have the good reason, which is the Holy Spirit, now that's a good thing. I know people that can do it, and it isn't the Holy Spirit, but they go into another place because you can entertain yourself in hell. But these are signs. So do you get angry? Do you get upset? Do you get impatient? Do you shake your fist at society? You know, this is a typical thing. You know, they see that, you know, I saw something on a TV show on a Netflix that somebody else is subscribed to, and I get to see the shows. But they were talking about, you know, hating government and the sovereign citizens and all this kind of stuff. And they're kind of shaking their fist at the government and want to undo it and all this stuff. Clear sign, not moving from the Holy Spirit. They're blaming everybody else. It's not my fault, it's their fault. It's not my fault, it's that fault over there. It's what the government is doing. No, it's what you're not doing, which is not seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness with every fiber of your being. You're not going to be doing that right away, but at least start doing it with some of the fibers of your being. Start forgiving and giving. Start doing it in an organized fashion with others. Why with others? Because you have to forgive them. You have to have others to have somebody to forgive. And if you don't have somebody to forgive, then you can't be forgiven. That's what Christ says. I didn't make that up. Forgive so that ye may be forgiven. So you need to gather with other people, not because they are perfectly aligned with what you think, but because they're going to step on your toes. They're going to do something wrong. That's why you gather with them. So that when they do something wrong to you, you can forgive them. Now that doesn't mean you absolve them. You can still rebuke them. You shouldn't have done that. That was a bad thing. But I love you. And that's why I'm telling you. Because as many as I love, I also rebuke. You see, you need to gather in congregations of record. You need to go online and say, because if you don't, what you'll do is you'll just drift from church to church to congregation. You'll say, well, these guys are moving too slow. I'm going to go join this other group because we got to go faster. We got to make this happen. You can't make it happen. You can allow it to happen in you. You must submit to the power of the Holy Spirit in you with whoever God gives you. God gives you this person, gathers in your congregation. You say, well, that guy, he's got all this problem, why do we want him in our congregation? Because you get to learn something from his iniquity. We've had a progression of people come out here. Some of them murderers, liars, drug addicts, thieves, all kinds of different people. Everyone brought a lesson for us to learn. Some of them were, dramatic lessons. You know, you could make, movies out of some of the events. You know, if you could get the special effects in there, they'd be big seller movies. But with others, it's much more subtle. And you had to, what is it that this guy cannot see? How do we bring attention to them where their weakness is? Because when they see their weakness, then there is their strength coming. Because it's the blockage keeping the Holy Spirit from moving in your life. We've seen some very bright souls come here with blockage, with spiritual blockage, and they needed to open that up. And in the process of serving them and sacrificing for them and spending hours and hours and hours, they think they're helping us. But they're not helping us as much as we are trying to help them. We spend way more time working on trying to help them than they spend helping us. But we don't begrudge the fact that they aren't as helpful as they could be. That it doesn't have anything to do with that. You know, it's God has all the power. And there's nobody that's going to come here and grant us the power. Or give us or bless us, except that we be blessed by the Holy Spirit in our service of them. Because Christ came to serve. That's why you gather together. Like back to the survivalists. They gather together to survive. They don't gather together to serve. They gather with you because they think you'll be an asset to their personal survival. That's not what you want. I can guarantee that's not what you want. If you don't believe me, you're going to find out at a very inopportune time. what you gather together to give your life, not to get life from others. Same in marriage. Do you get married because of what? You know, because she's a beautiful woman and she's so comforting and she's all this stuff? Or do you marry her because God wants you to marry her? Does she marry you because God is telling her to marry you? Or because you're mutually attracted to each other? Is it an attraction of the Holy Spirit or is it an attraction of the flesh? Well, odds are it's both. But that's okay. It's part of the plan, a God's plan. But eventually it must be an attraction of righteousness. That's what you want. You want to be seeking the kingdom of God, the right to be ruled by God and His righteousness. What does that look like? It looks like the Son of God coming to serve man rather than be served. If you're not coming to serve others, you're not coming in the name of Christ, Yeshua, the Messiah, or anybody else. And until you come in that name, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.